listening to Fresh Take.
You're listening to the Fresh Take Network.
You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, all you wonderful, wonderful F1 fans out there. Thank you for tuning into the new edition of F101. It is the beginning of the 2025 F1 season, and I can predict right now, I can say right now for certainty, it is going to be one of the best years that we have absolutely had. But more importantly, if you can hear my voice, I can only mean two things. One, that my name is Kelsey, and two, you are listening to the newest edition of F101. And for the first time this year, we're going to start off with the hot topics. This is everything you need to know in the world of F1. A couple of things. Oscar Piastri has signed a brand new multi-year contract with McLaren. There is no specific details yet on how much the contract is worth or how many years, but it is expected to take Piastri well into 2027, if not 2028. This is an amazing signing for both people. They are showing the faith they have in each other. They are showing the fact that everyone's a bunch of grown-ups on that team. They trust the situation, they trust the building blocks that they have, and they trust that everyone's going to be a part of the team. I think at this point McLaren is pretty much set. They've got their aerodynamic crew, they've got their drivers, they've got their, you know, everybody in place that they need to win multiple championships in a row. I do really think that McLaren is definitely on the upswing. They will be the team to beat in 2025. If they keep going in this direction, even with the new rule changes, I do believe that McLaren will be the team to beat also in 2026. Next topic, there's going to be a few things that you are not going to see in 2025. First thing, fastest lap points are officially gone. You will see the logo. You'll see the little initial for the fastest lap. You will not be seeing the points distributed or dealed out. I think this is a fantastic idea from F1. It was an experiment essentially for the last 2 years. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. The drivers and the teams had figured out very strategically that you can use that 1 point to manipulate the standings to take points away from your competition, whether you were in the top 10 or not. So just to recap, if you're in the top 10 and you get a fastest lap, you get 1 point. If you're outside of the top 10 and you get your fastest lap, there's no points awarded. So perfect example, last year, Daniel Ricciardo, before he was unceremoniously dismissed, ends up getting the fastest lap, last lap, I think it was in Abu Dhabi, something along that line, ends up taking the fastest lap point away from Lando Norris, essentially helping Max Verstappen get the driver's championship. Max thanked him at the end of the race for taking away that fastest lap. I think this is what the FIA wants to discourage. This is what they want to take away from, like, the strategic, if you're fast, you're fast, but it shouldn't depend on, you know, what team allegiance potentially or anything along that line. So no more fastest lap point this season or moving forward. Still see the fastest lap time, but no points associated with that. And last but not least, this is the biggest contention so far in F1. President of FIA, Ben Salom has officially decided that swearing is no longer allowed in Formula One. There's officially going to be fines attached to it. I think this is absolutely, pardon my French, and oh look, first fine coming up of the year for me. This is officially a fucking ridiculous thing that they've decided to do. I know F1's supposed to be a family sport. Everyone's supposed to be able to watch it. Everyone's supposed to be able to enjoy it. I get that. You don't want your kids to hear anybody swearing, and 99.9% of the time, if something does happen over the radio on air, it's bleeped out anyways. Or the clarity of it isn't exactly what people want it to be. It's not exactly super harsh. It's not like someone's pointing at the camera and swearing at it. If you want your kids to watch F1 and you want the cleanest version of it possible, that's fine. They've got F1 for kids. There's cartoon versions of them. It's heavily, heavily censored for language in front of the cars. 90% of the time, you don't even hear the driver interaction with their team over the radio at all. You just see them driving and little explanations from the hosts. But to take away the right of individuality from these drivers, I think is absolutely ridiculous. Let's break down what the suspension fines and essentially bans will be. First time you swear, 40,000 euros. Now, this is not accumulated over the entire season. This is one shot. So if you caught swearing a bunch of times, these penalties just kind of double up on each other, and you can end up with some serious, serious consequences by the end of the season or even by the end of the day. So, like I said, if you get caught swearing first time, 40 euro fine. Okay. If you swear again, now this can be the next day. This could be 20 minutes from the first one. It could be simultaneously right after. It's an 80,000 pound or euro fine plus a 1 month suspension. Now, to take that into consideration, for you to be suspended for one race, if you have a clean record of driving, you have to use your car as a weapon. Now, to explain that is every time you do something really, really bad, you get a point taken off your supercar license. 12 points equals one race suspension. So the most heinous crime I have ever seen without being banned, like officially, if you get a black flag, you're done, you're suspended from the race. The worst I have ever seen is someone driving recklessly for a grand total of 3 points. Now, this is purposely cutting a corner, hitting somebody on purpose, driving recklessly, passing the safety car full speed when they're not supposed to, things of that nature, essentially being a menace to society on the road and using your vehicle as a weapon. Now, you need 12 points to lose your license. So let's say you have 3 points, you collect that. It would take you four times for you of you doing that with your car to get suspended for one race. Now, for you to do that four times in one race is not going to happen. You're going to get suspended per race before this happens. But it's not going to take you a month worth of races. It is astronomically horrible what this ban is. 80,000 euros, 1 month suspension. That's ridiculous. So you can use your car, you can be dumb, you can spin out, and you can pretty much nail somebody as hard as you possibly want, and you're not going to get a 1 month suspension. But you say fuck twice, and you've got a 1 month suspension. How does that make sense? How does any of this possibly help Formula One? How can this possibly help maintain order in the sport? It really, really doesn't. And it gets even worse. If you do it a third time, it's a 120,000 euro fine. You get a 1 month suspension, and now you get points deducted off your, you get points taken away from your team. Now, these are racing points, so you win a race. Okay, you get 25 points, fastest lap. Oh, wait, there's no point for that anymore. You win the race, 25 points for your team. Congratulations. You say, you know, something happens and you cuss three times. Well, all of a sudden, they're going to take points away from you for that. That could legitimately determine the championship because somebody swore once or twice. And then they get a month suspension. And in some months, you're missing, if you include sprint races, you're missing up to 8 or 9 races in a month, depending on that month. Now, would that realistically happen? We don't know yet. This is brand new for the season. We have the first race coming up this weekend. And I think the F1's going to call the governing board's bluff. There's no way that they're going to suspend their drivers and lose millions of dollars in sponsorships, viewers, and anything like that because they swore a couple times. Especially for the drivers who English is not their first language. And what's the first thing you learn in any language? Generally, you learn the curse words. Generally, you learn the bad things you're not supposed to say because it makes it fun. So if someone doesn't have the best grasp of the English language and they're expressing themselves going 330 kilometers an hour, yeah, you're in a rocket ship and they swear, all of a sudden they're getting penalized for it. They're not concentrating on it. Now there's something else they have to pay attention to. You have to watch your language. It's absolutely and total bullshit what they're trying to do. And on top of that, they're trying to get an explanation of where this money's going for the fines. And the governing body hasn't given them an actual answer. You're going to get all this fine money from all these drivers, but where does it go? They don't know. They don't have an answer yet. So this is going to go one of two ways, I do believe. It's either going to be they're going to back off and then be like, hey, you know what? We tried to govern a little bit too much. It's our bad. We're going to take this away. It was just an experiment, you know, like, haha, we'll try to get things sorted out. Or the drivers will make it amongst, they are going to take it amongst themselves, and they're just going to bombard the stewards and the governing body with so many drivers just swearing three times just to make a point. What are you going to do? You're going to suspend half of the grid for an entire month? There's no way. If you suspend Russell, George, Lewis, Fernando, and Piastri, you're going to suspend all of those guys because they're making a point, because your rule is an absolute fucking joke. It's not going to happen, but it might go to, it might get to that point where there has to be, you know, the broadcasters apologize to anybody listening for all the profanities and just kind of put it in the FIA's hands going, what are you going to do? You're going to fine us that much? You're going to suspend us for a month and take points away? I don't think so. I think this is just the governing body flexing a little bit too much, trying to take way too much control from the drivers, going, it's supposed to be a family-friendly sport, or some sponsors that don't believe in foul language and all those sorts of things going, hey, you know, reel them in. We're not giving you sponsorship money for them to act like this. I think it's a ridiculous rule. It's a stupid rule, and I do believe that no one's actually going to enforce it. Now, with that all being said, that is everything you need to know in the world of F1. Those are the hot topics. Let's get right into the very first weekend of the 2025 F1 Championship. We are in Australia, where the topic of the day is weather. Is it going to be nice? Is it going to be rainy? You know, how is this going to work out for them in qualifying? I know for a fact that F2 got canceled 100%. They only got in one training run. The weather opened up on their actual race day, and they canceled the F2 race, period, 100%, full stop. Now, will they cancel the F1 race? Will they go ahead with the Sunday? You're just going to have to listen and find out. Let's get right into it. Q1, the weather was not so bad. It was a little windy, a little overcast, couple of clouds here and there, but overall it was pretty nice weather. It is the first time we have seen anybody in these cars full speed, full stop. Was there a few upgrades that came in since the testing? Yes, absolutely. Majority of them would be on Red Bull. Majority would be on Ferrari, but let's get right into it. I mean, not really a great day for Ollie Bearman in the entire weekend to start off with. He's one of the new Haas drivers. Crashed full practice one, spin out crash, full practice two, doesn't even get out for qualifying. He ends up having a gearbox problem. And on top of that, he ends up taking a pit lane start penalty, because not only do they have to change the gearbox, they also had to change some of the chassis because they realized it wasn't essentially track specific. So, I mean, as much hoopla and as much, you know, anticipation as there was for Ollie Bearman to be in his very, very first season in a Ferrari adjacent team, it was an absolute letdown. Two out of the three problems were his. That third one, it just kind of iced the cake. You know, it's one of those weekends, just, man, just stop trying. It's just not going to work out. Just take your lumps, take your loss, and go with it. Next weekend in China, I expect him to be a lot more on the ball, a lot more focused. Not that he wasn't before, but now he's starting to learn the ins and outs of an actual F1 season. Sometimes you have really good days. Sometimes you have really, really bad days. The pace themselves in this one, it was absolutely fantastic. A lot of good pace, but a lot of hesitation as well, especially from the rookies that were in the field. We have a massive, massive rookie lineup this season, which I am very much excited to see. The times were good, but the times could have been a lot better. But that's just going to come with comfort. That's going to come with a lot more understanding of the car with the new upgrades. At one point between 1st and 15th, there was a little bit over a half a second difference. They're still really, really close in qualifying. It's just that speed. I mean, that speed will eventually come. Three rookies out in qualifying one. Like I said, they're fast, but they're tentative. The weather held off. A couple of moments here and there for Carlos Sainz, Lewis Hamilton. Of course, they've got brand new teams, new teammates, and brand new cars that they haven't had any kind of intake or input of how these cars are put together. So it's a massive learning experience for everybody this season. Let's get into the bottom five in Q1, starting from 20th to 16th. Ollie Bearman was in 20th with a no time. Esteban Ocon in 19th. Liam Lawson in 18th. Nico Hülkenberg in 17th and Antonelli in 16th. Antonelli, the newest driver for Mercedes, really promising kid. He is going to be one of those, if he wins a race in the first three races this season, he will be the youngest F1 driver in history to win one. They did put an age gap in there after Max Verstappen started. Gabriello Antonelli, he was one of those guys that just kind of snuck in under. He's been with Mercedes for God knows how long. So it's one of those, okay, you can be in there, but, I mean, you're just barely going to be 17 when the season starts. Antonelli, really good promising. He's got that pedigree. He skipped F3. Now, it's not very often this happens, but he went from karting. He had such promise, went straight into F2, and then, two seasons later, all of a sudden, he's in F1. So a lot of pressure, a lot of expectation on this young kid's shoulders. Hopefully, he'll be able to learn from George Russell and Mercedes in general, Toto Wolff especially, like, hey, just put this kid under your arm, teach him the ropes, and hopefully they'll have a fantastic, fantastic driver. Q2, a little bit faster. Weather was a little bit nicer. A little windy, but not too bad for these guys. Definitely seeing the front and rear wings flexing a lot. That side wind is really putting havoc on the cars. Nobody spun off, no crashes, which was fantastic. It was just one of those, the veterans are starting to get their groove back again. The rookies are feeling a little bit more confident, taking a little bit more risk, but not too much. Gap time between first and 10th, again, 0.69 of a second. Again, really, really close. Weather not taking in consideration. It was great. Really, really great to see Yuki Tsunoda definitely being one of those guys showing a lot more improvement from last season, being a lot calmer. It also helps. He got some good aerodynamic development on that car. You can see the Racing Bulls, now they have a proper name, have a proper car. It's simplified, but it's very, very efficient. It's good in the side wind. It's getting faster and faster. If this weekend is any indication, the Racing Bulls will definitely be someone to contend with later on in the season, especially with their grown-up lineup. Williams showing a ton of speed. Both Williams making it out of Q1. Both Williams going to be making it out of Q2. Carlos Sainz, Alex Albon, fantastic combination. They don't have a rookie in that team. You've got Carlos Sainz coming back to where he came into F1 and Williams. Alex Albon's been there forever. They've got a solid team. They just need the car underneath it. And it looks like by now that this car will actually be a contender. Lewis Hamilton, by the time you hit Q2, he's looking a little bit more confident in that Ferrari, a little bit more understanding of how they build the car, a little bit more understanding of their processes and procedures, and a little bit different of a wheel design. He doesn't have his own custom stuff on this car anymore. He has to start from scratch, essentially, and you can feel him feeling it out, and then all of a sudden, you see that confidence building again. Let's do the top or bottom five in Q2. We're going to go from 15th to 11th. 15th, Bortoleto, and then you've got Jack Doohan in 14th, Lance Stroll in 13th, Fernando Alonso in 12th, Isaac Hadjar in 11th. He is the other Racing Bulls driver. He, I think, is going to be one of the dark horses of the season. He is one of those quiet, confident, yet get things done type of drivers. He already made it out of Q1. He's in Q2. Just misses out by a fraction of a second. Really good promising start for Racing Bulls. That's great for him. Unfortunately, it's kind of detrimental to Yuki Tsunoda, I think. If Isaac Hadjar has a fantastic season this year and Liam Lawson just doesn't able to do it, you know who's going to get called up. They're going to put Isaac Hadjar in that F1 seat. They're going to put it in that Red Bull seat, and they're going to leave Yuki Tsunoda all high and dry in Racing Bulls. You know, at least, but we'll see what happens. Q3, it is time for the big boys. It is time for the guys who know what they're doing. And there's not a lot of rookies in this. In fact, there are absolutely zero rookies in the top 10 for the very first Q3. Max Verstappen, he's starting to feel out the Red Bull. He's starting to get that feeling going again. He wasn't spectacularly fast in Q1 or Q2, but he was still super consistent, top five every single time. McLaren, they are just so goddamn fast to start off this season. They have exactly picked up where they left off last season. For them, it's an absolutely monstrous step forward. They didn't outgrade themselves in the car, which means the upgrades they put on the car are not detrimental to at least the first race of the season. This is how you want to start. They're going to be in the top five. They're going to be in the top three, both cars. Absolutely. Two confidence drivers, two very, very fast cars. Literally, they can be only their own worst enemies at this point of the season. Although, again, it is the first race. Don't overthink it. Play nicely. Just do what you do best. Top 10 guys are just going full out 100%. The weather had absolutely cleared up. No more clouds. No more wind. It was just the soft tires, balls to the walls. Let's go. And man, did they ever. Let's go through the top 10 in Q3. We're going to go from the 10th to the first. Number 10, Carlos Sainz. Number 9, Pierre Gasly. Lewis Hamilton in 8th. Leclerc in 7th. Alex Albon in 6th. Yuki Tsunoda in 5th. You know what? I don't want to say it's a surprise, but it's kind of a surprise. Yuki Tsunoda cracking the top 5 in the very first qualifying of the year. Really, really great run for him. Just in front of him is George Russell. Then Max Verstappen in 3rd. Oscar Piastri in 2nd. And Lando Norris in 1st. Like I said, those McLarens are absolutely 100% unstoppable in the first race of the year. It's go, go, go time for McLaren. They definitely have to put that pedal to the metal to start off the season. And they are definitely doing it right. So that is your qualifying. That is your weather report from qualifying. That is everything you need to know from the rookies in the very first qualifying of the year, which can only lead to one more thing. That is right. Absolutely. It is race day. So let's get right into it. The first race of the year, round one, it is the Australian Grand Prix, and this is what it looks like. We're looking at 58 laps, 5.2 kilometers per lap, 14 turns, top speed, 339.9 kilometers an hour. These guys are absolutely flying. First thing I have to say from the new broadcast from the 2025 season, I love the brand new opening. There's no more stupid poses. I like the more personalization. Each driver has signed their very first name, and then their last name comes up on the screen with their number. It's much more new person friendly. It's a nice little bit of a reminder. I like this style of introduction. The music has stayed the same. It's just a fantastic way to start the race. Well, when the race did finally start, the name of the game again on Sunday is rain, rain, and more rain. F2 race got totally canceled. It was a deluge of rain, puddles everywhere. They managed to get the rain mostly off the track before it started. But then the main question came up for the teams. Are you going to do inters? Are you going to do full wets? Because it would rain, it would stop. It would rain, it would stop. But the rain that came down was absolutely heavy. Now, the one issue with this is it's the first race of the season and it's Australia. 99.9999 times out of 10, you're not going to get any rain. These guys, if they put any kind of wet training on there, they don't do any at all in Bahrain. They'll flood the track a little bit, like it was a little sprinkle. They'll put on the intermediates, do like 5 laps and call it a day. But Pirelli has introduced a brand new full wet tire. It's absolutely pouring out. So it's literally going to be a training session that counts for points for every single driver. Who's going to succeed? Who is not going to be that good in this race? And oh my God, can I tell you that it was one of the most exciting races I have ever seen. If 2025 ends up being the way that this race started, it's going to be absolutely, absolutely fantastic. Liam Lawson, pit lane start. Ollie Bearman, pit lane start. Everything seemed to be good to go. The wind was picking up, but it wasn't canceled. Everyone's on full wets. We're off to the races. Formation lap. Unfortunately, the first yellow slash red flag of the session started. Isaac Hadjar on an inward wall. He nails it. Doesn't even finish the formation lap. Ends up hitting the wall. His day is absolutely done. Hits the white line, goes for a spin, ends up in the wall. Now remember that, hits the white line. It's going to be a story amongst the entire race, and we're going to come back to it later. So once Isaac Hadjar is all cleaned up, and that was about a 15-minute delay, so they end up doing like 4 formation laps, like 4 laps around and around before they got him out of the way. Okay, we're lined up, we're ready to go. The rain eases off a little bit. Everybody sticks on the tires. 3-2-1, off we go. And McLaren and Max Verstappen, again, it's a top 3 battle through and through. These guys are the fastest of the grid, and everybody knows it. No one's trying to keep up with them. George Russell sure as hell couldn't do it. At one point between those three, within the first 3 laps, they were about 4.5 seconds ahead of George Russell. It will be McLaren versus Red Bull. Hopefully more than just against Max Verstappen, but it's right now it's McLaren versus Max Verstappen right now, top 3, and it's just going. Max ends up getting a good pass, gains 1 spot, 2nd lap, a really, really amazing time. And then everything kind of goes to pot. Everything just starts to fall apart for the rookies. It was a horrible, horrible day. Jack doing crashes, first lap, exit 5. Again, overcorrection, hits that white line, ends up going into a spin, hits the wall. At the same time, well, I shouldn't say at the same time, pretty much half a lap later, they get going again. Carlos Sainz, really not expecting this from him, but again, it's a new car, new wet tires. Again, hits a white line, overcorrects, gets a power surge, ends up in the wall, demolishes the Williams. That's another car out. So as of right now, within three laps, you got three cars that are out. It's going to be one of those races. There was no real pace for about the first 27 laps of this race because of the rain and the crashes and just formation lap after formation lap. If you add it all up, I think they did 15 or 16 formation laps or safety car laps just to clear everything up from all these crashes. It was absolutely ridiculous. It ended on like lap number 7 is by the time the safety car went in. It took 5 laps to get Carlos Sainz out of the way. Australia, when you crash, you need to kind of crash in certain spots because that's where the marshals can get to you because they can get the crane out faster. Anywhere else, you're kind of stuck in no man's land and they cannot get to you within a reasonable amount of time. At one point, they had one of the crane trucks on the course about halfway down before they could reach a car that had crashed. It took a lot of time, but give credit to the marshals, give credit to all the safety crew. They were on it like a bonnet. They knew what they were doing. They were fast. They were efficient. And they tried to get the race going as quickly as they possibly could. Meanwhile, while everything was actually getting going, the battle between Max and Lando exactly picked up where it was last season. Now, a lot of people watching the race are going to figure, well, Lando's got a significant advantage over Max just because the tire wear on the car for Max was substantially higher. Well, I think that's true to a certain extent, but I also think that Max was playing the long game. He knows what kind of race this is going to be. He knows that there's absolutely no point destroying these tires when in another 4 or 5 laps, you're going to get another crash. You bide your time. You may be 3 seconds behind the leader, but you know what's going to happen. You're going to make up that time somewhere else, and you're going to make it an actual race. This is where the intelligence comes in from Max Verstappen. Now, that isn't to say that Max did not exactly have a wonderful race either. He did make a couple mistakes. He went long into on lap 17. He did go long into turn 14 a little bit. Not quite into the emergency, like the runoff road, but he ended up did kick up a bunch of gravel, did slow him down a little bit, just kind of making his day that much harder than it needed to be. But he was able to recover. Both Lando, both Piastri also, they didn't have exactly the wonderful days either. There was a bunch of spins, there was off courses, there was a bunch of hitting white lines and spinning out kind of thing. Everybody was having a day that would just test you to the ultimate. By the time we hit lap 27, everything kind of seemed to be over and done with. McLaren was 100% in control. They were P1, P2 because of Max's little incident. It had put him about 3 seconds behind. By the time you looked at it, you have 25 laps to go. Max Verstappen is 15 seconds behind. It looks like an absolute blowout. What the hell is going to happen? Well, let's skip all the way to lap 34, turn 6. Fernando Alonso hits that wall, brings out another safety car, another yellow flag, and this time it's on. It is absolutely on like Donkey Kong. It is now time to switch tires and find out who's got the better pit stop, who's got the better strategy, and what's going to happen and how the rest of the race is going to shape up. And on top of that, McLaren, because they were so far ahead, it is the first team orders of the year. Now, it wasn't for them to switch. It was for one of them, whoever was in second, in this case, it just happened to be Oscar Piastri, to slow down, to not challenge, especially in this weather. I think this was much more of a weather-dependent team order than anything else. When it's dry, race on. What do they call it? Papaya rules. Race your other friend. Race your driver. Make sure you guys are competitive but safe. Because of the weather and because of the white strips on the road, first team orders was back off. Piastri ends up backing off about 3 seconds just to keep things safe just in case. Does this rule suck for Piastri? Yeah. But does it make sense? 100%. Why would you risk both cars that are in point-making contention for an absolute no reason? Maybe someone hits a line, maybe somebody slips, loses traction, takes out both cars, now you've got 0 points. In this case, if P1 crashes out, all of a sudden you still have 25 points towards the team. All of a sudden you still have a car that's in the lead. No point risking it when there's absolutely no upside to it whatsoever. Max is so far behind at this point, even if he's going to try his best, chances are the harder he tries, the more he's going to screw up. Speaking of screwing up and getting a little frustrated, we are able to see Lewis Hamilton's first experience on the Ferrari team. He is not gelling with his engineer as of right now. He is used to his old team. He's used to the Mercedes way, which is totally fair. You spent 99.9% of your career in the same spot. You get used to it. You know each other. It's a second language. Well, in this case, it's legitimately a second language for Lewis Hamilton. He's trying to figure things out. He's also figuring out that he has to adhere and mold to the Ferrari way. Ferrari is not going to mold and adhere to the Lewis Hamilton way. There's going to be a little bit of give and go, but it's going to be more giving from Lewis Hamilton than it will be from Ferrari. There's a couple of instances. It was not conjunctive. They were not gelling between him and his engineer. They were just not on the same page. His engineer is talking to him way too much. Hamilton is letting him know too, just, hey, just let me drive. And he's being very polite about it, but you can see he's starting to get frustrated. This can only get better throughout this season. I don't think this is going to be a massive issue for him, but it's something for him that he's definitely going to have to learn and get better at sooner rather than later. Meanwhile, while all of this is going on, everyone's going into the pit lanes. Bortoleto gets hit with the very first five-second penalty of the season. It is an unsafe release, almost takes out, I believe it's either Max Verstappen or Liam Lawson. These guys just want to get out there, get as much experience out as possible. Maybe a little bit too fast. Maybe they need to learn to be a little patient in the world of F1. Lap 44 to 46, the rain comes down even heavier. And I mean absolutely 100% downpour with a wind. Now, not enough like Spa a couple years ago where he ended up canceling the race. Just enough to make things even wetter. Enough to make Oscar Piastri spin out and almost get stuck in the grass. But to his credit, he kind of essentially rocked that car back and forth. Got a little momentum going and ended up backing out all the way out of the grass back onto the runout track. He was able to continue the race. He's absolutely 100% not in the top five anymore. He barely makes the top 10, but to his credit, he didn't panic and he was able to get that car out to stop another yellow flag, which is definitely something they did not need this race. Lap 47, Liam Lawson, and again, hits the white line. Sends it into a spin. The car does not have time to recover. Just demolishes the back end of his Red Bull into the wall itself. He's okay. Everybody was okay. It was just another yellow flag. The weather running absolute havoc. And I mean havoc in this race. The race did finally end up stopping about two laps before it was actually supposed to be done. You could see the race line starting to come out. Everyone at this point was dedicated to the wet tires just because there's no time to pit and to stop and to get new tires, and especially because there is no fastest lap point anymore. There was absolutely no reason to whatsoever, which made it a bit of a one-lap drag race between Max Verstappen and Lando Norris. It was racing at the beginning of the season how they ended racing last season. Very, very close. It was about a half a second difference. Lando Norris does end up pulling out the victory, the inaugural 2025 victory in F1. It was a fantastic race from him. He took his time. Very intelligent race, very safe race. He didn't do anything that he didn't need to do to get the win. Six DNFs, five of which were rookies. No, four of which were rookies. Two were veterans. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. Antonelli gets a 5-second penalty for an unsafe release, which ends up getting reversed about a couple hours later. So the standings did change from what they showed. Mercedes gains an extra 2 points, which ties them in the lead with McLaren for the Constructors' Championship, which is, you know, it's quite that feat so far. It was a great race overall. It was very, very exciting, very hectic, really exciting to watch. And like I said, I really hope this is how, not crash-wise, not yellow flag-wise, but I really hope this is how the season starts for the 75th anniversary for F1. Let's go through your top 10, starting from 10, ending up at 1. This is how we finished the 2025 Australian Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton in 10th with 1 point. Oscar Piastri in 9th with 2 points. Leclerc finishes 8th with 4 points. Hülkenberg finishes 7th with 6 points. Lance Stroll finishes 6th with 8 points. Albon finishes 5th with 10. Antonelli finishes 4th with 12 points. George Russell in 3rd for 15 points. Max Verstappen in 2nd for 18. And Lando Norris takes the win for 25 points. Now, you're asking me, why are you telling me the points when it comes to the Drivers' Championships? It is because that is how it stands. It is the very first race of the year. So the top 10 is how the Drivers' Constructors' standings start as it is. Now, when you saw the race Antonelli got that 5-second penalty. He would have ended up in fifth. Albon would have ended up in fourth. Still, a fantastic result for Albon either way, either fourth or fifth. It is the best Williams start that they have had in God knows how long. Nico Hülkenberg getting seventh for the kick salvo, ends up getting 6 points. That's almost the entire amount of points they got last season. Oh, wait, that is more points than the entire race or point catalog of last season, thanks to Nico Hülkenberg. Really strong race for him, showing his veteran colors, showing that the car has slightly improved, which is great. I can only see Kick Sauber going up from here. Granted, now they are officially in sixth in the Constructors' Championships. I hope they continue this. Speaking of Constructors' Championships, let's go through the top 10 right now. McLaren is in first with 27 points. They're tied with Mercedes for first place, but because of the standings of where McLaren ended up, they are first. Mercedes is second with 27. Red Bull is third with 18. Williams is fourth with 12. Aston Martin is fifth with 8. Kick Sauber is sixth with 6. Ferrari is seventh with 5. And then Alpine Racing Bulls and Haas are all tied with absolutely 0 points. Let us get to the topic of the race, story of the race. And it was not because all these guys crashed. It was not the weather. It is why they crashed. And I think it brings up a really good point for all these road tracks, for all these street tracks, that the FIA needs to pay a little bit more attention to what the track surfaces are made of. Now, the tarmac itself is fine, but over half of the course in Australia, if not all of it, is an actual street. Now, 360 days of the year, it's regular traffic, which means the paint on the road is not FIA grade. Now, generally, that wouldn't sound like a big deal, but the paint that the FIA uses and that Formula One uses on the actual standalone tracks, think Silverstone, COTA, Spa, all that kind of stuff, it is a very, very specific paint to F1. Now, yes, it is white. Yes, it is road paint, but the material this paint is made out of actually adds grip to the road. So when they hit the white line, it doesn't end up happening what happened in Australia this weekend. The regular paint that they had on the road acts like glass. It's like ice. When those tires hit it, when they get wet, you get really slick, almost a little oily. If it was F1 paint on the road, out of the 6 crashes, I would say we could easily eliminate 4 out of those 6 crashes, if not every single one of them. I think the FIA needs to take a look at every other street track they have going on. Think Monaco, China, I do believe, Singapore, all of them. Yes, it doesn't normally rain at these tracks, but why be safe than sorry? Use that F1 paint just for the weekend. Take that extra money, tear it up, or even in Vegas. Use that stickier paint and make sure these drivers are safe. Not only that, but the fans that are right by the corners. When these cars crash, they're not exactly made of steel and don't tear apart. I mean, some of these crashes, you're missing over 30% of the car when it hits the wall. Well, where is it going to go? It's going to go everywhere. Carbon fiber flying everywhere. The people in the crowds, they're safe enough, but why take that extra risk? Make sure that paint is F1 grade. Make sure everyone is safe, not only the drivers, but the people in the stands as well. And there you have it, folks. We have got the first race under our belts. What do you think of the Australian race? Did you watch the Australian race? It can only get better from here, weather-wise at least. Let's get right into it. Next race is the Chinese Grand Prix. It is also our very first sprint weekend as well. The format for the sprint weekend, guess what, has changed yet again. Race weekend is the 21st to the 23rd. Let's get into it right now. For those of us in North America, in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, full practice. It's early, man. It's so early. It's late. It is, I believe it's 10:30 PM our time for first practice on Thursday. Friday jumps into sprint qualifying right away, 1:30 AM in the morning for that. The actual sprint, which is kind of odd, is not until 10 PM that same day. Now, it's not like they've got qualifying in between there, which they don't. They've changed it again. Qualifying is Saturday at 3 a.m. our time. And then all of a sudden you've got the race, which is Sunday at 1 a.m. The gaps between these, especially for this weekend, is a little ridiculous. Not only that, it's a little ridiculously early for us in North America, U.S., Canada, you know, all of us out here. So I don't ever want to hear European fans complaining about COTA or complaining about Montreal and what time, or Vegas, what time those races are. we're getting up at 1:30 in the morning. We're staying up till 3 a.m. to watch this race from China. All right. I don't want to hear any complaining from anybody out there, but they need to stop screwing with the sprint weekend. I think they need to find a routine that works. They had enough sprint races last year. Just keep with that. That schedule. It seemed to work. Sprint qualifying, then regular qualifying, and then the sprint race, and then the sprint. Or see, I'm getting confused. Sprint race qualifying, then race qualifying, then the sprint race, and then the actual race the next day. Like, it's that schedule seemed to work out really, really well. Where this, again, they're changing it yet again. I think it might be for the time zone, but they just need to let it be. Just keep it to one kind of layout, one schedule, and just let it be. Well, folks, that is it. Thank you for listening to the first episode of the 2025 season. Again, everyone here from F101 would like to send out a massive thank you to all the fans out there listening, not just in Calgary, but, you know, I've got some US listeners. I'm sure I've got some listeners from around the world. Without you generous fans, I would not be able to do this. And I mean, I enjoy doing this every single weekend that we have a race. Long week, short week, it doesn't matter. I enjoy doing this. Thank you everyone out there for listening. And until Chinese Grand Prix.